blessing it is to know that our Savior cares. If you would, go ahead and join me in your Bibles in Mark chapter 6 this evening. The Gospel of Mark chapter number 6. As we look to the Word of God this evening, over this week and next, I want to speak to you on the subject of soul winning. You say, Pastor, isn't that what we have been talking about the last few weeks? Yes, it is. But this week and next, I want to speak to you specifically along the lines of the act of soul winning. We've been looking at this series, Take It Personally, a series dealing with owning and obeying the Great Commission and trying to help equip us to do that work. And during these 2 weeks, we want to focus on the actual process. We've already discussed a basic gospel presentation and how you can share that. But this week and next, we'll look at essentially the entire presentation from start to finish. So I'll just tell you now that over this week and next, it's going to be just a lot of practical thoughts about actually going out and doing the work of soul winning. And as I told you as we began, unless there's a commitment to owning and obeying the Great Commission, a lot of the series isn't going to help you a whole lot. And we need to make that commitment. Next week, I'm going to focus on what I would call relational soul winning. Relational soul winning is that evangelism that reaches those close to us. Family members, neighbors, friends, acquaintances, co-workers. I would refer to that as relational soul winning, and we need help along those lines. But today I want to focus on what I'm simply going to call community soul winning. Community soul winning is that behavior of the church that seeks to reach their local community through corporate efforts. So anything that we would do as a church, that myself or someone else behind the podium or in a life group class or whatever, may encourage you saying, hey, on this day, at this time, we're going to go into the community for connected outreach, or we're setting aside this Sunday for a particular evangelistic effort, or we're going to be putting on this event for the purpose of bringing people or going to people so we can share the gospel with them. That is what I would refer to as community soul winning. And by the way, we as Christians should be involved in both. We should be involved in relational soul winning, seeking to reach those in the immediate sphere that God has given to us. But I also believe we ought to be involved in corporate soul winning efforts, joining together with our body of believers corporately to reach people for the cause of Christ. The basis for community outreach, if you will, is found in the Bible. Now, I will tell you that in a sense, it is not expressly commanded. Don't be shocked by that. The Great Commission, found in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the book of Acts, it's found in all five books, is given to disciples. It is given to the individual. The Great Commission is given, in a sense, for the church, but its primary application is to us as individuals to go out and reach others for the cause of Christ. Yet, corporate outreach, the principle of it, is found in the Bible. And I've asked you to turn to one of the passages where that principle is certainly present. It's here in Mark chapter 6, beginning in verse number 7. I'll ask you to look at verses 7 through 13 with me this evening. The Bible says, and he, that's Jesus, called unto him the 12, and began to send them forth by two and two, and gave them power over unclean spirits, and commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse, but be shod with sandals and not put on two coats. And he said unto them, in what place soever ye enter into an house, there abide till ye depart from that place. And whoever shall not receive you nor hear you when ye depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. And they went out, read the rest of the verse with me out loud, would you? And preached that men should repent. Let's try that again. And they went out and preached that men should repent. And they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. Now don't miss just the overall context and what takes place here. Jesus takes his disciples, he takes these 12, who after his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension would be commissioned as his apostles to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Jesus essentially gave them a practice run during his earthly ministry. He took them, and the Bible says he sent them out in verse number 7. He sent them forth by what? 2 and 2. He sent them out in twos and sent them throughout the coasts of Israel to do what? Verse number 12. And they went out, and what was their purpose? Preach that men everywhere should repent. They were sent out to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. The miracles were secondary to the primary mission of going out and preaching the gospel to every creature. This event sets forward the principle for corporate outreach in the church. And it is how we have not just Cornerstone, but churches for generations have established community outreach efforts as a part of our ministry. We do evangelistic outreaches, and I have specifically encouraged you to make a commitment to be involved at least once a month in our evangelistic outreach efforts. And I want to equip you to do that. And that's part of the purpose we've gone through this series. And in this message, what my intention is to equip you so that when you meet someone during an outreach, or maybe it's just someone you meet in your daily life that you don't know. Relational evangelism, someone you already know, we'll cover that next week. But maybe the Lord gives you an opportunity just as you're about to converse with someone that you've not met before. Perhaps you would come and join us on an evangelistic outreach effort, a community outreach effort, and talk to someone. The practical tips I'm going to give you tonight are really to equip you for that occurrence, for that gospel interaction. So again, it's really just a lot of practical points. I'm going to give them to you fairly quickly, explain a little bit to help equip us for those efforts. And so I want to discuss just first of all, a regular door-to-door visit. One of the things we do as a church with our community outreach efforts is we go door to door. Jesus told his disciples in the book of Luke through a parable that one of their tasks was to go out into the highways and byways and compel them to come in. And one of the things that we are seeking to do when we go on door to door outreach efforts is to invite individuals or families to join us for a service, to come into his house as he's commanded us to do, but also to seek to have an opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. So here is essentially just a progression of how you would converse with an individual on a door-to-door visit during a community outreach event. Very practical, Some of it perhaps obvious for you, others of you maybe equipping you for the first time to do this. First of all, introduce yourself and your church. I can't tell you how many times I have been on outreach with different people who perhaps it's just because they've not gone before or they've never been helped about this. They knock on the door, ring the doorbell, and then for the first time are trying to decide what to say if someone actually answers the door. I've been with people who have hoped beyond hope that nobody would answer the door because they weren't sure what to say. I can remember as a college student at Pensacola, I grew up going on outreach frequently. I remember my dad used to tease me that I was bad luck because any time he took me, no one would answer the door. I don't know how truthful that was, but I remember as a college student at PCC getting involved in some of the outreach efforts. And I remember there was one particular time I went out with two other guys. Well, actually, I'd gone with another guy and told these two guys to partner up. They were junior ministerial students. In other words, they were in their third year studying for the ministry at Pensacola Christian. I said, you guys pair up, you do this street. They came to me and waited outside the house as myself and my partner knocked on our first door. And I came back. I'm like, what are you guys doing? Third year ministerial students, they looked at me and they said, well, we've never done this before. We've never knocked on people's doors. We're not sure what to do. Okay, let's rethink this a little bit then. We can help you. When you go and knock on someone's door, someone answers the door. Simple beginning. Introduce yourself and your church. My name is Mike. I'm from Cornerstone here in Rocky Mount. Very simple. Secondly, invite them to join you at a church service on Sunday. Here's how I have really, just even in the last couple of years, begun doing this. A lot of times in the past, I might say, hi, my name is Mike. I'm from Campus Church, or I'm from Cornerstone, and I'm here to invite you to church. Recently, I've started asking a question. And I found it to be more helpful to immediately engage in conversation. Hi, my name is Mike. I'm from Cornerstone here in Rocky Mount. Would you join me for church this Sunday? And it immediately engages them in the conversation. They have to give a response of some kind. And so I found that to be very helpful. Here's number three. First two, very simple. Hi, my name is, go ahead, give me your name. Hi, my name is, I'm from Cornerstone, and I'm here to invite you to church. Would you join me for a service this Sunday? Very simple. Here's where it begins to maybe get a little muddy. Number three, determine if this is the right time to continue a visit. Because ultimately, are we there to invite them to church? No. What are we there to do? Seek to share the gospel with them. All right, ultimately that's our goal. So here's number three, you need to determine if it is the right time to continue a visit. How do you determine that? We dealt with it during a couple of weeks ago during our message on giving a basic gospel presentation, essentially listening to what they're saying, following their body language and their facial expression. If someone answers the door, and immediately as you begin to introduce yourself, where you're from, and ask them to join you for church, if they look absolutely disgusted, it's probably not the right time to continue a visit. If they tell you they're going to sick the dog on you, probably not the right time to continue a visit. If they tell you they're going to call the police, I don't know why they would do that, but they may. I've had it happen. Then it's probably not the right time to continue a visit. And by the way, from personal experience, it's not right to get angry and respond angrily either. You say, personal experience, when I was, many years ago, when I was a little more arrogant about things, we were in a community for a church doing door knocking, and some lady called out from her porch that we weren't supposed to be doing this there, that she was going to call the cops. And she said, now I appreciate what you're doing because I'm a Christian too. Well, that opened the door. I went evangelistic on her and kind of, you know, pulled out the, what's the word I'm looking for? Imaginary shotgun and just went to blasting. Not the right approach, okay? Not the right way to respond. So determine if it's the right time to continue to visit. If it's the right time to end the visit, here's how you end the visit. Leave a gospel tract. Give them the church information that has the gospel printed on it. Give them a personal invitation to visit. All right, I understand right now may not be a good time for you. I'd just like to leave this information with you. And I'd, again, just like to invite you to come and join me for a service. Seek to communicate that the church cares for them and can help meet their spiritual needs. A lot of people that we talk to who do not go to church have this thought that they don't need church. And that's just not true, friends. Whether saved or lost, it's through the church, the pillar and ground of the truth, that a lost person is going to hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And a saved individual, this may rub you the wrong way, I hope not, you're here on a Wednesday night. Saved individual needs the church. God established the church for us as believers, for our growth, for our encouragement, for our edification, for our effective service. And so communicate that the church cares for them and can help meet their spiritual needs. And then fourthly, leave before you wear out your welcome. Now that can be difficult because you may have worn it out the moment you knocked on their door. Understand that. That's why it's important that you discern if it's the right time to continue a visit. If not, try to conclude the visit and leave before you wear out that welcome. Now, if it is the right time to continue a visit, again, you're going to be able to discern that by their response to you, both verbally and nonverbally. Verbal and nonverbal communication can tell you an awful lot. And so discern if it's the right time to continue. If it is, of course, you've already gone through that process of stating who you are, where you're from, why you're there, to invite them to a service. And now, depending on the response, if the response is right to continue, then you can move forward with a gospel presentation. Now, I cannot stand here tonight and give you all the possible responses that could open the door to a gospel conversation. I will simply say this, because we run into it a lot here in Rocky Mount. Oh, well, I have a church. That does not mean they're saved. Many times when I've run into that, questions are very helpful. Oh, well, what church do you attend? And sometimes they're able to give an answer, sometimes not. Now, no matter the answer, there is an easy way to still segue into a gospel presentation with someone who says, well, I go to church. Here's one of the most helpful things that I found in that case, because I don't want to go out of my way to offend someone's church or offend somebody's beliefs. But I can tell you, there's been many times that I've run into someone, well, I go to so-and-so Catholic church, or I go to so-and-so whatever it is church. Easy segue into the gospel. Well, more importantly than going to church is whether or not you know for sure you're going to heaven. I know you've said you go to such and such church. Can you tell me, what does your church teach about how to go to heaven? And there have been many times when I've asked somebody that question where they're not able to give me a clear Bible answer. Whereas if I simply say this, well, do you know you're going to heaven? Many times that person's going to say what? Yes. Someone who says, yes, I go to church, many times if you say, well, do you know you're going to heaven? They're going to say yes. Whereas if I say, well, what does your church teach about how you go to heaven? Now, if they can't give me a clear Bible answer, I can now ask them, well, you know, the Bible teaches us how we can know for sure. Can I take you to the Bible and show you what the Bible says? Regardless of their church background. So, regardless of response, if it's the right time to continue the visit, first thing you need to do, you ready for this? Pivot the conversation. You know what that means, don't you? Heard that term a lot during the elections for the 2016 presidential campaigns and all that. The political commentators frequently talked about how the candidate, whoever it was, would get a question that really an answer would show them in a bad light, so they would pivot the question or pivot the conversation a different direction. And that's something you need to do when you're at somebody's doorstep and you have an opportunity to segue into the gospel, is to pivot the conversation from an invitation to church or whatever they may have brought up in conversation to a gospel presentation. And so pivot the conversation. At that point, what do I do, Pastor? Go back a couple weeks ago when we dealt with sharing the gospel and share a simple, brief gospel presentation that we described a couple weeks ago. And then afterward, after you've done that, exchange contact information. One of the things that we, when I say we, I mean Christianity in general with our evangelistic efforts, have not done a great job at is leaving the door open for follow-up. In other words, we go on door-to-door outreaches, or we have evangelistic outreaches of different types. We share the gospel with somebody and then we leave, and that's that. We never go back. We never recommunicate. We don't keep that door open. Exchanging contact information gives you the opportunity to keep the door open. You say, Pastor, I don't know if I'm real comfortable with that. Well, get comfortable with it. I mean, if we're going out, we care enough to share the gospel with somebody, we shouldn't have any problem saying, you know, I'd love for you to join me this Sunday. Do you mind if I give you my cell number so that you can text me or call me to let me know if you can come this Sunday? And if you wouldn't mind, I'd love to have yours just so I can reach out to you again if that's okay with you. And have that open door for follow-up. And then write it down. You say, I'm not real comfortable with that. Fine, ask me for my cell number. I'll give it to you and tell them I'm giving you my pastor's cell number, okay? But those open doors to go back are so essential. I know just through even business type studies. Many times what you hear in business type studies, I know my wife deals with some of this with some of the things she does. They talk about how many times you have to approach an individual 6 or 7 times before you get a positive response. And the same thing is often true spiritually. Sometimes it takes several interactions with an individual. What does the Bible talk about? Some plant the seed, and some water, and God gives the increase. Many times it's a process. And so we need to leave that door open. And so very simply, that's a door-to-door visit. Let me give you a second possibility, and that is a specific or a follow-up visit. There have been many times in my ministry where I have had the opportunity to follow up with someone who maybe visited a service, or who reached out to the church for one reason or another. Or maybe someone just said, hey, you know, I have this individual that I know. I remember when I served as the youth pastor at the campus church, we had a man who emailed the campus church. He lived in Pennsylvania or something like that. And he had a family member who lived in Pensacola that he had reached out to long distance many times. And I don't remember the exact details of why he was reaching out, but he was reaching out hoping someone from our church would go visit that relative to sit down and share the gospel with them. That was not a cold turkey, just door-to-door outreach. That was we called, we set up an appointment. The whole purpose was to go, to sit down with them and try to share the gospel with them. And there are times where we have a visit like that during our outreach. Again, there, whether it is set up ahead of time or not, you show up, you introduce yourself, tell them where you're from. But then, in a visit like this, many times there's going to be more opportunity for just casual conversation. One tip related to that is the acrostic HELP. You say, I don't really know how to go in and talk with someone that I've never met before, that I don't know. How do I just sit down and have casual conversation with them? Remember this acrostic HELP. Write down what it means. These are basically just topics of conversation you can do with someone that is just casual conversation. Talk about their house. Hey, you have a lovely home. How long have you lived here? I like the decor of it. I like the way that you've got it set up and arranged. Now, if you don't have anything nice to say about their house, I'd avoid it, okay? But it's an option. Employment. What do you do for a living? How long have you worked there? What do you do at that job? So on. Loved ones. How many children do you have? Grandchildren. Now, don't offend and ask them about great-great-grandchildren or anything like that. But just talk about their family, their loved ones. And then possessions. Hey, I see you drive such and such. I have that same vehicle. Or, you know, I see you've got memorabilia related to this sports team. You know, I root for that sports team, or I'll pray for you, you know, whatever it may be. Feel sorry for you. Just find ways to make casual conversation. But then, thirdly, again, now it's time to pivot the conversation. Even in a situation like that, even if it's someone who has visited your church and have said they're looking for a church, guess what? That does not mean they're saved. Doesn't mean they know the Lord. Pivot the conversation and seek for an opportunity to question them about their salvation if they know the Lord. And then let me give you just some practical tips for any situation. Again, just a lot of tips tonight, practical in their nature to try to help you. Just some practical tips. When you join us for corporate outreach, again, I would encourage you to make a commitment to do so at least once a month. At least once a month. Just practical tips for any situation. First of all, carry your Bible. Take your Bible with you. I know there have been times when I've even interacted with somebody else where they don't necessarily like the idea of carrying a book, you know, with them because they might be mistaken for Jehovah's Witnesses or something like that. I came up with a little tune for that, or a change of a verse in the Bible. Thy word have I hid in my pocket that I might not look like a Jehovah's Witness. But we shouldn't worry about that. The word of God is our authority. And we need to take our Bible with us. Go with a partner. Look, it is a good idea, as Jesus did with his disciples, to go two by two. And we ought to do that. You say, Pastor, I would come on outreach, but I'm not sure who I would go with. Good opportunity to ask somebody to come with you. If you're not sure that you can do that or have someone, that's fine. Come, and we'll make sure there's someone to go with you as best we can. Go with a partner. Thirdly, be polite, courteous, and thoughtful. You know, again, I have failed at this in the past. We're not there for argument. We're not there to discredit somebody or even the church that they go to. As much as lieth within us, the Bible tells us we should live peaceably with all men. Now, the gospel in and of itself is offensive. The Bible tells us that. But we do not need to go out of our way to offend somebody. So always be polite, courteous, and thoughtful. And fourthly, I mentioned this in a sense, never criticize others' beliefs or churches. You are not going to win the opportunity to share the gospel with them by criticizing them, their belief, or their church. You can segue into teaching or sharing what the Bible says about the gospel without being criticizing of them. Use wisdom during interactions. Be very careful with members of the opposite sex. Be very careful with children without parents. You should never enter somebody's house, especially if it's maybe a group of two men and a lady answers the door, or a group of two ladies and a man answers the door. Don't enter the house. Now, I've broken that, I think, one time in my ministry. We knocked on somebody's door, myself and the other college student I was with, and this sweet old man answered the door. It was a cold day. He refused to take any information. It was a cold day. He shook our hands before we left. He said, "Man, you guys are cold. Come on in and warm up for a minute." We went in. He was like 80 years old. I wasn't too concerned about anything. And in that particular case, it worked out well. He told us he was Catholic. We went in. His wife was there. She also said she was Catholic. They were actually watching Catholic Mass on television when we walked in. Long story short, we were there a couple of hours, led them both to Christ. So in that particular case, it worked out. For the most part, don't go into somebody's house, okay? And don't talk to a child without their parents present. I remember in one situation, my wife and I were traveling for PCC at the time, and we and our group went out visiting with another church, and my partner happened to be the pastor of the church. And we knocked on somebody's door. It was my turn to give the presentation, and a young boy, about 13, 14 years old, answered the door. I asked him if his parents were home. He said no, so I said, okay, well, I'm just going to leave this information with you. Well, the pastor didn't have that idea. So the pastor went into to a presentation with the young man, and sure enough, dad showed up while we were doing so, and he was not very thrilled about that. You really shouldn't communicate long with a child without their parents being there. And then finally, sensitivity to the Spirit is the most essential trait. We've talked about this already throughout this series, that when you are in any situation in what could become a gospel interaction, being sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God, listening to His leading, and then yielded to His leading. I think that many times our failure as Christians is not that we don't hear the Spirit's leading, it's that we're not yielded to His leading. In other words, the Spirit will prompt us. You need to talk to this person about their soul, about their need for Christ. It's not that we don't sense the leading, it's that we're not yielded to the leading to actually obey. Sensitivity to the Spirit's the most essential trait when we're interacting with others. And so I want to ask you, have you made a commitment to owning and obeying the Great Commission? I believe there is both a corporate and a personal individual application of that. Have you made a commitment to both own and obey the Great Commission? Again, tonight, just a lot of practical thoughts, really going through how you can go through a presentation with someone when you're on a community outreach event, but still it comes back down to Jesus' command to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That is our role. It is our privilege. It is our mission. And apart from doing it, we are not fulfilling our role, our privilege, our mission. Have you made a commitment? I hope and pray that you have. Would you bow with me this evening? Tonight, as we just wait for a moment before the Lord, I want to ask you just to, in your heart, maybe your reason for not being involved in community outreach in the past is a sense of not being equipped. The purpose tonight was to equip you. It's really a simple task, but one that we need to be equipped to do. I've tonight given you just the practical side. The Holy Spirit will give you the power. We just need to be yielded. Maybe you need to make a commitment tonight. If you do, why don't you do that just there in the quietness of your own heart? Make a commitment. Lord, you know, I haven't been as committed to obeying and owning the Great Commission as I should be. I have sensed your leading in the past to be involved in community outreach efforts, and I haven't been as faithful or committed to that as I should be. And Lord, I'm just going to make a commitment. I'm going to make it a priority to get involved, and I'm going to make that commitment to you. You do as the Lord leads you tonight. Lord, thank you so much for just time spent. Lord, really just in practical tips tonight to give equipping to us for gospel interactions. I pray that it would have been helpful to us tonight. Lord, there was nothing over the top, nothing deep about it. Just a simple guide for being at someone's door, in someone's home, giving a presentation of the gospel. And Lord, I pray tonight that you would help us as you are leading in our hearts to make a commitment to you. We need to be about souls. Lord, if we as a church are not about souls, what's the purpose of us being here? Lord, help us to recognize that this is the purpose. This is our mission. And you've called us to strive together for the faith of the gospel to accomplish that mission. And we'll be sure to give you praise and honor for it. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would, go ahead and take out your prayer list now at this time. Pastor Ronnie's going to be coming. He'll have a few missionary updates. And then we'll take some time to share prayer needs and pray together tonight.